We're going to be in several passages of Scripture this morning, and I have printed them in your notes so that you won't have to be flipping back and forth. So those of you who are watching or listening, if you'll take the time to go to the link in the description or comment section and download the notes, you'll have the Scriptures right there, and you'll be able to follow along in our study today as we're in week two of Keep Calm. And today the theme is Keep Calm. The Lord of hosts is with you. Through the years, I have frequently suggested that you study the different names for God, that they would deepen your devotional life. One of the first ways that God revealed himself to his people was through the names that he called himself. And as you study the different names of God, it will really enrich your devotional life. I've taught several times on what are called the compound names, Jehovah, and then another name like the Lord our peace, the Lord our provider, the Lord our shepherd. There are eight primary of those compound names, and I just encourage you, you'll be able to find them. Just do any kind of a search, you'll be able to find them. Do your own Bible study on them. I promise you, it will enrich your prayer life, it will enrich your praise life as you praise God for who he is. Well, recently, Donna and her classmates, who've been on this devotional text thread for a long time now, did a similar study, and then they branched it out to other names for God. And she actually did a devotional on Lord of Hosts, and she sent me what she had done, and it's been rumbling in my spirit ever since then. And as I've been working on this Keep Calm series of lessons, it really came to the forefront. I thought, well, I need to really dig into this. I learned that this phrase or this name for God, Lord of Hosts, is used well over 200 times in the Old Testament. So it's a name that is frequently used, and we need to learn what it means for us. And as I dug into it, I was certainly blessed. I thought I was going to do 1 week on it. We're going to end up doing at least 2 weeks on it. Because there's just so much in the scripture about this Lord of hosts. In the Hebrew, it is Lord Sabaoth, not Sabbath, but S-A-B-A-O-T-H. And that's the word that the King James translates, Lord of hosts. The idea is that God is sovereign over all other powers, all the powers in the universe, visible, invisible, human, non-human. He is sovereign over them all. He is the God of all strength and all ability. And what's interesting is this word associates God with battle and warfare. It is God with us as our warrior God, the Lord of hosts. He is the hosts over human armies. He is the Lord of hosts over celestial armies. He is the Lord of hosts. That's the way the King James translates Lord Sabaoth, Lord of hosts. The NIV typically translates it Lord Almighty. So since we typically use the NIV in our scriptures, when you read Lord Almighty this morning, it's what the King James is, Lord of hosts. The New American Standard mostly translates it God of armies. And the Message translates it God of angel armies, in case you're wondering where the inspiration for the song we just sang came from. The God of angel armies, it's the Lord of hosts. Just a couple of passages from the Psalms. Psalm 24, lift up your heads, ye gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, the King James, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Psalm 46, nations are in an uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So today, keep calm. The Lord of hosts is with us. Somebody summarized it. I know you're not supposed to do your summary statement at the beginning, but somebody summarized it like this. The Lord of hosts is the name of God we find used in Scripture when a man or woman is at the end of their rope, so to speak. He is the strong tower which God has made available for those times when we fail and are powerless, when our resources are inadequate, when there's no other help. It's especially during those times that one comes to appreciate God is the Lord of the armies, the Lord of hosts. So let's dig in to what the Scripture tells us about the Lord of hosts. The first time this name is used in the Bible is in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I'll go ahead and give you the blank and then we'll study it. The Lord of hosts is with you in your perplexity. Aren't you glad that I put the blank at with and not at perplexity? I figured it would take too much time if we had to spell perplexity. But the Lord of hosts is with you in your perplexity. I chose that word because I was trying to describe bewilderment, befuddlement, consternation, deep confusion, perplexity. So this is the story in 1 Samuel chapter 1 of a man named Elkanah who had two wives, Hannah and Penina. Hannah was barren. Penina had many children. She was not a supportive sister-wife. She harassed and provoked and irritated Hannah and frequently rubbed it in Hannah's face, "You don't have any kids. You can't give our husband any kids." To the point where the Scripture says, if you continue to read the story in 1 Samuel 1, that she would often just weep and not be able to eat because Penina was treating her so harshly. And that's significant if you remember that Jewish young women were taught by their moms that the greatest blessing they could ever have is to be chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. And if you're barren, you can't be the mother of the Messiah. So there were many levels to the frustration that Hannah felt. And so as they make their annual pilgrimage to the temple, 1 Samuel 1:11, she takes her frustrations to God. And she made a vow saying, "Lord Almighty, Lord of hosts, God of angel armies, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I'll give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." To jump to the end of the story, in case you don't know the end of the story, God answered her prayer. Her son was Samuel, who went to the temple as soon as he was old enough to leave her and became one of the great prophets of Israel. But Donna wrote this in her devotional on this passage. "I was curious as to why Hannah might have chosen such a strong warrior name for God to ask him to heal her barrenness. And my thought is that maybe she wanted the strongest name she knew to ask for the most urgent need she had. She needed a big God." And she prayed, "Lord Almighty, Lord of hosts, God of angel armies, hear my prayer." Do you need a big God for any of the perplexities in your life? And again, when I'm using the word perplexity, I don't mean the things that kind of have you curious or have you mystified or have you intrigued or, you know, Arsenio Hall's things, the things that make you go, I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about deep unsettled, deep uncertainty, bewilderment, befuddlement, not able to make sense out of what's going on. You have any of that in your life? Have you ever had any of that in your life? Probably you have if you've lived very long. God, what's happening here? And it's those things that keep you shaken on the inside. Sometimes, if you're not keeping your focus on God, it would almost cause you to walk away from your faith because you say, what's happening here? That's what I'm talking about. That level of uncertainty and perplexity, the things you can't make sense out of, the things that maybe have you tossing and turning at night, those things that are never far from the front of your mind when you're awake, and you wonder. I think a lot of people are wondering that as we look at our nation. But what about what's going on in your family? What about what's going on in your relationships or your job? Or there's just an area of your life that has you absolutely at your wits' end. The good news is the Lord of hosts is with you. You can cry out to Him. You can bring your burdens to Him. Remember we said last week when John saw into heaven, he saw the door to heaven opened. You can come boldly to the throne of grace. Sometimes we don't even know how to pray. It's like, God, this has got me so overwhelmed. I don't even know how to pray. And I wonder if that part of that is that passage in Romans that says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that can't be uttered. I remember, I mean, we grew up in churches where everybody prayed at the same time out loud, you know, and depending on who prayed the loudest, that's when you know you were done, when they were done, everybody was done because they were praying the loudest. But I have heard in prayer meetings, saints just groaning. And it's like, that might be what that passage is talking about. When all you can do is cry Jesus. When all you can do is say, God, help. The Lord of angel armies is with you. The Lord of hosts is with you. You matter to Him. Your burdens matter to Him. The door to heaven is open. Come boldly to the throne of grace. The Lord of hosts is with you in your perplexity. The second time this name is used, maybe the most famous time, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's the story of David and Goliath. And as David gets his slingshot and stones together and goes out to meet him, 1 Samuel 17:45, David says to him, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." And you talk about trash talk. "This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." And you know he did. But this usage of the Lord of hosts, you've already filled it in, right? The Lord of hosts is with you in your battles, in your struggles, as you face your giants, in your battles. The Lord of hosts is with you when the odds are against you, when life is overwhelming. Look to the Lord of hosts. David had been made fun of by his brothers. He had been mocked by Goliath. Everybody thought he didn't have enough weapons. You remember Saul tried to tell him, "Take my armor," and it was so huge David couldn't even move. He said, "Nah, just give me my slingshot. You know, I'm used to the slingshot." He had a big God. His back was against the wall. He's facing a giant that when you read it, and I don't have everything in front of me, but you know, he was probably 9.5 feet tall, and the scripture tells us how much his shield weighed, how much his armor weighed. I mean, this is a massive giant. And David has the Lord of hosts on his side. All of God's resources behind him. The Lord of hosts is with you in your battles. You don't fight alone. God is with you. Oh, and by the way, he's already won the victory. So you're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. And again, throughout the Old Testament, this pattern continues. When people are up against it, when people are overwhelmed by life, they call out, not just, "Oh God, help me." They call out to the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty, the God of angel armies. Maybe you need to add that prayer. or that name to your praying, and remind yourself, the Lord of hosts, the warrior God, the military God, is on your side. And so this name, Lord of hosts, has become synonymous with the sovereign, all-powerful God who can do the impossible for his people. Summed up by the prophet Zechariah, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies. It's not by our wisdom, it's not by our strength, it is by God's power, the infinite, all-powerful God, the Lord of all the hosts. He is with us. And sometimes what has us perplexed is that it seems that evil is going unchecked, and that evil is going unpunished. Surely there have been times in your life when you said, God, why aren't you doing something about that? It would seem that you could solve this really quickly, you know, with some key decisions. But we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the goodness of God is intended to give people time to repent. However, the Lord of hosts will triumph over his enemies. Isaiah chapter 2, go into the rocks and hide in the ground from the fearful presence of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty. The eyes of the arrogant will be humbled, human pride brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. The Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, has a day in store for all the proud and lofty, for all that is exalted, and they will be humbled. And you can read about the day the Lord has in store for them in the book of Revelation. You don't want to be here when they cry for the rocks to fall on them, to try to hide them from God. The Lord of hosts will triumph over his enemies. He is in control. He will have the final word, and it'll be good. But the good news, if you're on the opposite side from the Lord of hosts, is that he gives us a chance to repent. Haggai chapter 1. This is what the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, says. Give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink and never have your fill. You put on clothes, they're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in them. This is what the Lord of hosts says. The military God, the warrior God, this is what he says. Give careful thought to your ways. So I was going over this again last night. What came to my mind is, be on the right side of the Lord of hosts. You know, you want the Lord of hosts with you, not against you. The scripture gives instances of what happens when God turns against people. It's not pleasant. Take the time to repent and get on the side of the Lord of hosts, because the Lord of hosts will bless his children. He's going to triumph over his enemies, and he's going to bless his children. Psalm 89:8, who is like unto you, Lord God Almighty, Lord of hosts? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. That's interesting. We caught it in the song we sang. The God of angel armies is always by my side, where he sings, I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. It's kind of interesting that the scripture ties the militant warrior God to the faithful God. He is faithful. He will triumph over his enemies. He will give you victory in your battles, and he will bless you. His faithfulness surrounds him. That just needs to somehow encourage you that the warrior God is faithful. I don't know if you've ever watched combat sports, but you know, the fight's not over, you know, until it's over. And there are times when it looks like, man, the first or second round, this person is just losing bad, but they've got one punch left. And they land that punch and it's all over. Or they come back because they've got more stamina. You know, the Lord of hosts is faithful. He's not going to all of a sudden run out. You ever been in the, well, back in the old days, you ever in the middle of a phone call and your battery stopped? You know, all of a sudden you got no power left. And they make things that you can plug in that'll keep your phone charged. But you know, sometimes you just run out of power. Sometimes your car just runs out of power. God never runs out of power. He is the Lord of hosts, and He is faithful. And it's interesting in 2 Samuel chapter 5, talking about David, it says he became more and more powerful because the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, was with him. Keep calm. The Lord of hosts is with you. His faithfulness is with you. And you will succeed in your Christian faith because the Lord of hosts is with you. It seems like sometimes we're in it by ourselves. If you're a child of God, you're never in it by yourself. He is always with you. There's always a fourth man in the furnace. There's always a God with you. He is faithful. And I mentioned to you that the Hebrew for this is Lord Sabaoth. And one of the great usage of that term is Martin Luther's hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." I'm not going to quote the whole thing to you, but maybe you know it. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. And did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name. From age to age the same, and he must win the battle. Yeah. The Lord of hosts is with you. The God we serve is a big God. He is the Lord of all of the armies. He is the Lord Almighty. Enemies have been defeated in his name. Giants have fallen in his name. When brokenhearted Hannah had an urgent prayer, she cried out to the Lord of hosts. When David, outmanned by Goliath, he called out to the Lord of hosts. Little people, broken people, people who feel marginalized, can align themselves with a big God. Yes, this world has big enemies to the cause of Christ. You probably are facing some big challenges in your own life. But please know they are no match for the big God, the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty, the God of angel armies. We don't serve a weak, insipid God. We serve the Lord of hosts over all of the armies. Trust him. He is with you. Keep your focus on him and remember the promise of Isaiah that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Keep calm. The Lord of hosts is with you. Father, may we know that. May we be able with our spiritual senses to discern your presence. I know that sometimes in the heat of the moment, sometimes when our emotions are out of control or our mind is racing on us, it's hard for us to sense your presence. But I pray, Lord, that we would be able to stay focused on you. That in the midst of the challenges of life, the Lord of hosts is with us. And we can come to you with all of our anxieties, all of our cares, all of our worries, all of those perplexities of life. We can bring them to the Lord of hosts. We can cry out to you when we're in a battle for our very lives, and the Lord of hosts is with us. So give us that calm assurance of your presence in our lives, making us more than conquerors through him who loved us. And now may the Lord bless you, keep you. May he make his face shine on you and give you his peace now and evermore. Amen. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being with us today. God bless you.